Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmax. On the broadcast today, Daniel Corona, mayor of West Wendover, joins us, plus Vince Lombardi, associate professor of microbiology and immunology at UNR. It's coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Daniel Corona. He's the mayor of West Wendover up in northeast Nevada, on the border there with Salt Lake City, or with Utah, I should say. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir. Tell us the situation currently in West Wendover.
First of all, thank you for having me back on. You know, West Wendover, obviously, is probably one of the hardest and disproportionately impacted cities in the state from this shutdown. As I'm sure I've talked about before, and anyone who's had a conversation with me knows, West Wendover, you know, welcomes about 5 million tourists every year. Most of them coming from the Salt Lake City area to come out to gamble, drink, enjoy a concert in the Pepper Mills Concert Hall. And so, unfortunately, you know, with the casinos being shut down, that is our largest economic driver in the community, is that gaming industry. And so, you know, nearly two-thirds of our workforce is out of work right now. Many of those folks are receiving unemployment benefits, but still for a number of them, they still haven't received their initial unemployment claims. And so, you know, we understand that Dieter has been a little overwhelmed with the number of claims that have come in. And so, you know, people are being patient because I think that at the end of the day, they realize it's better to be patient and wait for that unemployment to come through than to go back to work too soon and get sick.
What's the food situation like for these folks?
So as it stands, you know, in normal times, we have a lot of food insecure folks. And because of that, we have a large food bank here in the community that's ran by a local nonprofit. And, you know, they went from seeing 30 families a day to now seeing 150 plus a day. And so, you know, they've done a really great job through their partners to keeping the food bank stocked. And so they've have plenty of food. And so we're really urging folks, you know, if you are food insecure, if you're out of work right now and you still haven't received your unemployment claims, you know, use the food bank as a resource. Don't go to bed hungry. We have plenty of food in the community that we can get to you.
You are co-joined with East Wendover, which is in Utah. They have always been known, and I have to say this, as the poor neighbor of West Wendover, and there's been attempts over the years to co-join the two communities together. How are they faring, and is West Wendover in any way able to help with the folks in Utah?
Yeah, so they, you know, the way that we look at it and the way that both cities have really approached this is, you know, yes, we're two different cities, we're two different governmental entities, but at the end of the day, we're one community. You know, my family's been here for four generations now. When my family first moved here, West Wendover didn't even exist. You know, as a matter of fact, West Wendover wasn't even an incorporated city until 1991. Whereas Wendover, Utah is over 150 years old. So, you know, we've always coexist, and we always, you know, that line that runs through the center of town is really just an invisible line. Our food bank has really stepped up, making sure that no matter what side of that line you live on, that you're getting food. We, as a city, started delivering meals to our senior citizens through the food bank, with our first responders going out and delivering those meals almost daily. And we, you know, from the start, we included Wendover, Utah, because we, you know, if there's a senior in our community, no matter what side of the line they live on, we want to make sure that they get fed. And so that's really been the way that we've approached this is, you know, we're all in this together. You know, yes, we're two cities. We have, you know, two very different issues normally. But right now we're all going through this together, and we're going to get through it together.
All right, let's take a break. More with the mayor of West Wendover, Daniel Corona, right after this.
Penny, Dad, why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Daniel Corona. He's the mayor of West Wendover. The mayor of Elko was on the program, as you know, and wants to see Elko and Elko County opened up because they feel that they have the coronavirus under control at this point in time. And the mines have a coronavirus that appears under control at this time. The governor expressed concern that if he starts opening up rural parts of the state, that visitors might show up in large enough numbers to bring the virus and overwhelm the local hospitals, and got a lot of pushback from Elko County and other counties in the state because of that. You have different thoughts. Share them with us if you would, please.
Yeah, so, you know, Reese, Mayor Keener, is a friend of mine, and we talk fairly regularly, but you know, the issues in West Wendover are vastly different than the issues in Elko. And I don't, you know, we've, as a county, have had this conversation about do we treat this as a county, you know, an entire county issue, or do we, you know, regionalize it within our county? And And for me, I think that it's irresponsible for us to say that we've got the COVID-19 situation in our county under control, especially when we've only tested 1% of our residents. When you only test 1%, you have no idea how many cases are out there, especially in a county that is as geographically large as Elko County, and that is as diverse as Elko County. You know, West Wendover, we to date have had six confirmed cases, unfortunately one fatality. And my fear is that if we open our county too soon, or if we open West Wendover too soon, certainly, as I said at the beginning, we welcome 5 million visitors a year. So that's about 20,000 visitors each weekend. We go back to normal and bring 20,000 people in, one sick person, that can spread through our community like wildfire, and we very quickly could be find ourselves in a situation like Winnemucca, where we would have the highest per capita number of cases, and I don't want that.
And that was caused by somebody coming to a celebration in Winnemucca from outside the area, and caused that infection. So, realistically, do you think that it's going to be as slow to open up West Wendover as it will be to open up the Las Vegas Strip because of the volume of visitors versus population base that you have there?
Yeah, so exactly. I mean, I think that, I sympathize with where Mayor Keener's coming from and where even the Elko County Commission is coming from. I think that they have a good point when they say, not the entire state is Clark County. But within our own county, we have West Wendover, which is, obviously on a much smaller scale, but we're much, our industry is much more similar to Clark County than it is to even Elko. And so I think that, we as a city are going to certainly continue to follow the state guidelines. And I anticipate that it will be a slow open, like the Vegas Strip, like Clark County, because we want to make sure that when we're welcoming guests back in, we're doing so in a manner that's not only safe for them, but also safe for our community.
Have you had any discussions? We got about a minute left here. Any discussions with the main hospital in Salt Lake City, which would be the place where if you had, your local facilities were overwhelmed, which would be fairly quick, what their response would be able to be?
Unfortunately, there hasn't been much communication across state lines. We had two individuals go into Utah to test for antibodies. We found out a month later that they tested positive. Unfortunately, there has been a breakdown in communication between, Nevada and Utah, but we've been in communication through the county, with the Elko County or the Elko Hospital, to make sure that, they don't get overwhelmed. And I think that they're at a place where they wouldn't. And we're starting to see, we receive Utah news here, which is how I'm keeping up to date with the Utah situation, the Utah hospitals are at a point where, they don't feel that they'll be overwhelmed either. It's not a conversation we've officially had, but it's something that has been put out there. And I think, obviously we don't want to get to a point where we have to send people to a hospital, but we know that there should be and there will be hospital beds available if folks do need to access them.
And that's where we have to leave it. Mayor Corona of West Wendover, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. And we'll stay in touch with you to keep up, and hopefully things will open up sooner than later. Thanks for being here. And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Vince Lombardi. He is Associate Professor of Microbiology and Immunology at UNR School of Medicine. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
My pleasure.
I got a press release from my good friend Jane Torres over at UNR. Said genomic sequencing of Nevada COVID-19 samples is underway. Tell me what that means as far as UNR goes.
Well, basically what we're trying to do is, and this is all under the direction of the, we have Department of Microbiology, we have two primary virologists there, Dr. Subhash Verma and Dr. Cyprian Rosetto. And they're working with the Nevada Genomics Core Facility, Dr. Paul Hartley. And they're sequencing different, looking for different strains of COVID that are common to this area. And so as the virus circulates globally, the virus tends to mutate. And so there's a big movement right now trying to identify what strains are in what geographic locations. And so they're basically doing the Nevada work, isolating and sequencing strains that are common to this area.
Okay, so what does that mean for the average person?
Well, basically, as the virus circulates, it tends to mutate, tends to change at the genetic level slightly. That make it less pathogenic, more pathogenic, might change how the virus works and what it does to the human body. And so I believe last check, there was about 8 different strains that were circulating globally of the COVID-19 virus, or COVID-2. And so it's really important, especially for things of treatment, like if you want to develop a vaccine to the virus, a vaccine might be effective for one strain but not for another strain. So it's important to understand the virus at the genetic level.
Not to take anything away from the seriousness of the situation, but viruses are present all the time, correct?
Absolutely.
And viruses tend to run a course. Would that be a correct thing to say?
Typically, yes. So what happens is you have, if the virus is very infectious, and especially viruses that are transmitted through aerosol, like the influenza, that will run its course. I mean, because pretty much either everybody is going to get it, or of course with influenza it's slightly different because it's seasonal. Influenza virus is less stable as things start to warm up. And so that's the reason why it's seasonal. A lot of times people don't understand why that happens. They think it's their immune system, but actually it's the stability of the virus. Once either people are vaccinated and it stops it there, or it's run its course, then it's pretty much over until the next time it circulates again. This virus is a little bit unique in the fact that there's no data to suggest that it's less stable at warmer temperatures. I mean, clearly they're having outbreaks in the southern hemisphere, which is summer there. And we don't really know so much about this virus because it's new.
So, on a personal basis, what are your thoughts on where we're heading? I mean, for example, from a societal point of view, Jan Jones Blackhurst on the board of Caesars wrote a piece the other day that said it's probably going to take 2 years for Las Vegas to recover back to where it was before, which I think stunned a lot of people in terms of length of time. Do you think that that's the length of concern here, or do you think that's the public perception of how long it's going to take for people to feel comfortable getting on airplanes going into crowded venues?
Well, I think it depends on, to a large extent, luck, and a large extent on if we can actually develop a vaccine, because there's really 2 or 3 ways a virus is going to be stopped. Either it's going to run its course, And of course, according to its course, is pretty serious when you consider that, you know, 3%, it's got a 3% mortality rate. And unfortunately, the people who are impacted most are the elderly and the sick. And so, I mean, if we're fine to have, unfortunately, a lot of our elderly people come down with this and die. I mean, when it went through a nursing home in Washington, it wiped out about half the nursing home. So it really shows that depending on who gets infected, that's where the lethality is. But the average of 3% is a little bit misleading. It's not 3% of everybody, it's 3% of the global population, but that impacts people who are sick or who are older more. The other way is to develop a vaccine. Now, there are laboratories across the world that are trying to develop a vaccine, and that's encouraging, but those things take time. Typically, once you've identified what they would call it as a dominant epitope, this is the part of the virus that an antibody can be developed and neutralize it, then they can use that as a guide to develop a vaccine. Then they have to go through trials to make sure it's effective and it's safe. That takes time. Typically, it takes probably 18 months to develop a vaccine and get it out there if you're really rushing it because of the movement right now. They're really fast-tracking this. So I wouldn't be surprised if they had a vaccine within 6 months. But that's a big if. The other way is through antivirals. There's been studies show that if you use, there's an antiviral, it's a what they call a neuraminidase inhibitor. That's for the treatment of influenza. It's very effective. It's taken within the first 24 hours. It's as good or not even better than a vaccine. Whereas vaccines might be strain-specific, and that's the reason why the CDC makes their best guess at what strains are going to be prevalent for the coming year, and sometimes they're wrong.
For example, this year.
Yeah, exactly. And now, as it turns out, that even if they're wrong, typically the flu vaccine does impart some protection. For instance, I was in Southeast Asia and contracted swine flu. And if I wouldn't have had the flu vaccine, it probably would have killed me, but I actually recovered fairly quickly, even though it wasn't specific for swine flu. And that holds true with most of the flu strains. Even if it's not perfect, it still imparts some protection. But with that said, if they can develop a vaccine quickly, that'll stop it. If they come up with very good antivirals, and we're not there yet. There's a antiviral that's been in the news a little bit that has been shown to decrease the recovery time, but that's a long way from stopping it dead in its tracks, and that's what we really need.
Okay, quick yes or no question and answer here. Are you optimistic that we're going to find either an antiviral or a vaccine in the next 6 months?
I am cautiously optimistic. Because if we didn't have the level of attention this was getting, I would say no. But there's so many people working on it. It's just kind of a mass action. If you have enough people working on a problem, somebody's going to get it right. Now, once they get it right, and they've got it, of course, it takes time to figure this out. Because think about this. If you were going to give somebody a vaccine, then you have to wait long enough to see if they become infected, and if they don't, and how long would that take? You just can't inject somebody with the virus to see if it works. You've got to give them the vaccine and give a number of people the vaccine and measure them to see which ones come down with it, which ones don't. That takes time. You know, let me take 6 months alone.
You and I have been friends a long time because of your involvement with the Whittemore Peterson Institute, of which I sit on the board. And I'm looking through my ballot for the election, my mail-in ballot, and I see under Board of Regents the name Vince Lombardo, and I call you, and go, is that you?
Yeah.
Why are you running for the Board of Regents?
Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, I'm very passionate about the university as a whole, and especially the School of Medicine. And when you're passionate about something, you want to help. As part of our mandate for being faculty, we're encouraged to do community service, and so I thought to myself, what better way to serve my community than to serve on the Board of Regents? Now, I realize that's kind of a big step, considering what most people do. Some people might serve on maybe on committees or things like that in the university. But on the Board of Regents, I think I can do more. I'm unique in the fact that I've got a lot of business experience. I've got academic experience. I think about the university as a giant corporation and how to make money and how to keep it solvent and how to keep it successful and how to build it. And so I think that I have the skill set to be able to do that. I'm also, because I'm part of the faculty, which is a little bit unique, I can consider myself boots on the ground. Whereas most organizations, the management style is from top down. I kind of am in a situation to where I can give a voice to the people who are actually doing the work, the professors, the academics, the faculty.
So in a way, you would represent the reality of the university system versus people who are there perhaps for the political portion of it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you look historically, people look at the Board of Regents position as a stepping stone for political aspirations, and I don't have any political aspirations. I'm there strictly for the benefit of the university.
And our Governor Steve Sisolak came up that route. He was on the Board of Regents before he was the chairman of the Clark County Commission. Howard Rosenberg was a part of the faculty, in fact, had a huge battle that ended up in his favor, allowing him to serve because it was found by the courts that he was not his own boss by being a regent and also an employee of the system. So that allows you to be there. One last quick question here. We've got about 45 seconds. This is going to be the toughest time for the university system probably in its entire history. Do you face that as a daunting proposition, or with your medical background, do you look at it and go, this is just another problem that needs to be solved?
Absolutely. I look at it that way. I mean, the ground is shifting on our underneath our feet as we speak. Things are changing, and it's going to be the new norm. So we have to be flexible, we have to be creative and divergent thinkers, and we have to be able to innovate our way out of the situation. And we just can't maintain the status quo. And I think that I'm a good person for that.
And that's where we have to leave it. Vince Lombardi, I wish you the very best of luck. You're a good man. I've always enjoyed working with you. And congratulations on this new venture. And with the virus, we just keep our fingers crossed that the sooner we get a vaccine or something else that solves this problem, we can get back to some kind of normal.
Thank you, Sam. My pleasure.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.